Welcome back to My Seminary Life. I'm your host, Brandon Knight, and a happy new year, everybody. Happy 2026. We are starting off this year pretty similar to how I started off 2025 with a series of rabbit trails and experiential preaching episodes headed your way. But before we dive into that, allow me to explain what's been going on here for those of you dropping in for the very first time. Maybe your new year resolution was to start listening to more podcasts. I don't know if literally anyone has ever thought that before. I should listen to more podcasts this year. But in case this is your first episode, My Seminary Life originally started as a show that was chronicling my journey through finishing my master's degree. And each week I would sit down and talk about the homework, some book I had to read, other projects I had to do, things like that. After I graduated, the show started focusing more on, there were specific topics that I wanted to dive into, subjects that either I didn't have to take a class on in seminary or there wasn't going to be a class offered in seminary. So that's what I did for a little bit. And then last year, I ended up doing more episodes focusing on preaching and teaching and things like that. And that's what gave rise to these rabbit trail and experiential preaching episodes. This year, as we enter 2026, my focus for the show, and I think what I would like the show to become, I don't know if and when I'll ever be able to go back and work on a new master's, doctorate, graduate certificate thing, but if and when any of those ever happen, what I want to do moving forward is this being a place that naturally, where I just talk about naturally, like the things that I'm learning, the things that I'm studying. That's part of the title, My Seminary Life. I'm a lifelong student in my mind, and so I just want to drop in each episode and talk about the books, the podcasts, the movies, the documentaries, the media I'm consuming, things that I'm learning, and talk about it here with you all. Rabbit trail and experiential preaching, I'll talk about that one when we get back, when we have an episode here in a few weeks from experiential preaching. But both of these are ongoing series that expands upon something that I recently preached on. When it comes to rabbit trails, so I guess I should back up a little bit there. There is this whole mentality within the Christian podcast world that churches should do more than just post their sermon audio online in the form of a podcast. And so this is my attempt to try these, both of these ongoing series are my attempt to try and do more than just post the audio for these sermons, but to dig in a little bit deeper. And with rabbit trails, the focus here is to give me an opportunity to talk about the thing that I didn't get to talk about in the sermon. Because every sermon, you know, a pastor at some point is faced, you know, especially in the writing phase, is faced with having to make a decision of what got cut, what's going to get cut from the sermon. Oftentimes, rabbit trails are not necessarily bad things. They are important subjects that should be talked about somewhere. And part of the reason why podcasting can be a helpful tool to churches if they're looking to expand their digital ministry. Rabbit trails sometimes are rabbit trails because they're an important subject, but maybe they don't quite fit into the overarching theme of the sermon, or maybe it's hard to like connect it back to what's going on. Or in one instance here on the show, it's an illustration that I really like, but I know it will not land with my audience. So I took a whole episode to talk about an illustration I wanted to do that didn't work. Today, though, for today's rabbit trail, I want to talk about the exception. I want to talk about when is it okay to just go ahead and go down the rabbit trail. When is it fitting to take everybody on a little side quest and then have to make a hard cut back into the sermon? The nice thing is that this one didn't really require too hard of a cut to get back to the actual purpose of the sermon, but it still was a rabbit trail. And so I want to talk about like why I made the judgment call to go ahead and go down this trail. So in a recent sermon, I preached on Genesis 16. If you're interested in checking out the entirety of this message, I will post a link for it in the description of this episode. It's up on my YouTube channel, Studio 219. So if you're interested in watching it, you can. But in Genesis chapter 16, simply put, this is the passage where Sarai decides to give Abram Hagar as a concubine, basically, to bear a child, to be the child of promise from God to inherit Abram's wealth and be the blessing that God has made this covenant with just prior to in Genesis 15 with Abram. Eventually, Hagar does get pregnant. This causes a whole issue within the household, and she leaves, comes back after God meets with her, and she eventually has Ishmael. That is the oversimplification of this passage. And it's the purpose of the sermon was for me to talk about how sometimes in life we come across certain things. We come across certain instances of anger, violence, whatever the case may be. And we try to figure out who are the good guys and who are the bad guys. This just seems to be how our brains operate, is that we need to know who are the ones, you know, if we want to use very spiritual terms, who are the ones who are serving God righteously and who are the ones that are in sin in this situation. And I think a lot of that has to come down to the kind of media that we often consume, especially as children, but even at times as adults still. You know, you think about like many classic Disney movies, it's very clear who are the good guys and who are the bad guys. There's no question who's the bad guy, Aladdin or Jafar, Peter Pan or Captain Hook. You know, I even made the joke in the sermon of like, if you watch The Lord of the Rings and you think the good guy is the giant floating fiery eyeball in the sky, we're not friends. Like you have some things you need to work on. And so when we come to a passage like Genesis 16, we think about that. If you think about this passage in those terms of who's in the right, who's in the wrong, that doesn't necessarily work. Sarai, Abram, and Hagar all have instances where they are doing things, saying things, making decisions that hurt one another. There's not necessarily a like upright, moral, high ground person in this particular passage, which reminds us then of what Paul is going to say later on in the book of Romans, none are righteous, no, not one. But in all of it, God is the one who stands as the righteous one. God meets Hagar in the wilderness in love, in compassion, empathetically, with grace and mercy, and does not scold her like, well, you shouldn't have been, you know, acting all hoity-toity around Sarai, like, and that kind of thing. Like, he doesn't do that. He blesses Hagar, and she still gives birth to her child. And God doesn't punish Abram and Sarai and say, okay, never mind, I'm taking away this covenant, I'm starting over with Hagar. Like, no, in just a few chapters down the road, they're going to have Isaac. If there's any person in the passage who is like the upright, righteous one, it's God. And so what we then need to realize is, one, that although there are going to be instances where there are just bad people, trying to operate all of life under this idea that there are the good guys and the bad guys doesn't always work. Life is more complicated and nuanced than that. But this passage does point us to the fact that God meets us in grace and mercy, love, compassion, empathy. This is how he meets us. And this is how in our unrighteousness, this is how he meets us. And maybe rather than us constantly trying to figure out who are the good guys and who are the bad guys, maybe we would do better to just meet people in love and mercy and grace and compassion and with empathy, much like how Jesus is going to later say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So what is the rabbit trail in all of this? And why did I run down the rabbit trail? Well, in my breakdown of the different people in this passage, again, we have Sarai, Hagar, and Abram. Let's talk about each one of those briefly. So Sarai is working under this idea of, okay, I can't have children, and this is a big deal, so we're going to do the cultural custom of finding basically a surrogate to have my child. You can maybe make the argument that she's being impatient, and in a little bit, after Hagar gets pregnant, she is going to be extremely angry and abusive and even kind of gaslighting Abram in the process as well. Hagar, once she does get pregnant, kind of carries herself with a little bit of this like cockiness, pridefulness maybe around Sarai of like, I can get pregnant. Because again, this is a big, still even today in a different way, being infertile is a thing for women that can cause shame. Abram, throughout this whole process, is kind of just operating as a frat boy. Father Abraham is this great Old Testament man, is kind of acting like a frat boy. Take Hagar and have sex with her and get her pregnant. Okay. I don't like it how she's treating me. This is your fault. She's yours. Do what you want. And it's that line that, and who Hagar is, that really inspired me to say, you know what? We need to talk about the rabbit trail in this instance. Because Hagar is a servant slave to Sarai. And she is treated as property in this passage. They need to have a child. She gives her to Abram. Abram uses her for sex. She gets pregnant, and Sarai does not like that. Treats her Abraham's like, I don't care what you do with her, and so she treats her harshly until she leaves. This took me to what is one of the few things that I will always talk about if it remotely comes up in a passage, and that is the topic of slavery in the Bible. For me personally, whenever the topic of slavery comes up, even remotely, I need to address it. I think maybe it's guilt, maybe it's a little bit of trying to, you know, correct the narrative all these years later, but knowing how much Christianity was used to as a weapon to continue to justify slavery, to put burden upon slaves here in the United States, I just find that it is, for me personally, a moral obligation that even if it is a hard cut to get back to the message, that it needs to be talked about. And I think that's where the rabbit trail becomes a necessary, as a concept, that is. The rabbit trail becomes a necessary thing that you have to go down when you're dealing with something that for you feels like a moral obligation to talk about. And obviously, one of the like easiest examples, most, you know, an example that everyone can maybe like nod their heads and go, okay, sure, yeah, that makes sense, is that if there's a way to somehow make a gospel presentation or to, you know, talk about Jesus's love for us and his sacrifice for us and intimacy with him and embracing the kingdom of God, those are all things that are worth going down the rabbit trail. But for me personally, this area of slavery, I just find to be like a, we need to talk about it. Even if I talk about it to death, I need to address the fact that, like, yes, slavery did happen in the Bible. It was different from the slavery that we had here in the United States. But in either case, as we can see here with Abram and Sarai, eventually people get treated as objects. People get treated as property that can be easily dismissed and abused if we don't like how they're treating us. And how, 'cause here's the thing. I, as someone who grew up in the early 2000s and was very much exposed to the Islamophobia theology that came around, I mean, there's always been kind of an Islamophobia, but especially post 9/11, the Islamophobia that would be prevalent in the United States. Like, I think Hagar just gets a bad rap at the end of the day with this passage. I think it is really easy for people to look at Hagar and be like, well, why are you acting so proud and arrogant? I'm pretty sure I've heard people put all the blame upon Hagar in this scenario because of what child she bears. But at the end of the day, like, in defense of Hagar here, like, sure, she shouldn't be prideful. She shouldn't be arrogant around Sarai. But this is seemingly going to be her ticket to a better life. Like, can you blame her? Can you seriously, in your heart of hearts, blame her for how she's acting? Like, again, yeah, pride, arrogance, cockiness, those are not good things. But, like, she's bearing the child, presumably, that is going to be the one who inherits the wealth of Abraham and is going to be this great blessing. Like, yeah, she's going to be different. She's going to act differently. And honestly, again, I don't blame her for acting that way. But for me, when it comes to the rabbit trails, if you are going to run down them in a sermon, even if it is going to be a hard cut, it needs to be one of those things that is a moral obligation to talk about. Again, slavery for me is like the big one. I'm sure if I sat down and really like thought it through, I'm sure that there are other like moral obligations that I'm like, yeah, I need to talk about this one. I already brought up like a gospel presentation kind of thing. But the big one for me is slavery. And I would love to hear from you all, what are those moral obligations that you have that you would say, yeah, in all circumstances, if it remotely comes up in a sermon, I need to talk about it. I need to talk about intimacy with Christ. I need to talk about unity. I need to among churches. I need to talk about, you know, whatever. And obviously, like, in saying all of this, there's going to be people who have moral obligations to talk about things in a sermon that I would disagree with. I understand that this tool that I'm talking about can be used to perpetuate continued bad theology or bad application of doctrine, whatever the case may be. But that is where my head is at in all of this. When do you take the rabbit trail? When you feel like you have a moral obligation to talk about the thing that is popping out of the rabbit burrow. And that's all I got to say about that. Again, if you want to check out the whole sermon for yourself, you can find it on the Studio 219 YouTube channel, which there's a link for that video in the description of this episode. If you haven't yet already, please consider rating and reviewing this show wherever you get your podcasts and pass this episode along to a friend, possibly your most racist friend. I'm kidding. If you pass it along to somebody and they heard that part, that's funny. But pass this episode along to a friend, maybe a fellow preacher, just to kind of, you know, show them this idea, see what you think. And again, leave me a message, send me a message or leave me a comment wherever you found this episode of when do you think it is right to run down the rabbit trail. You can also contact the show at emailseminarylife@gmail.com. And check out the other great shows here on the In His Own Ministries podcast network, including The Whole Church Podcast, The Bible After Hours, and my sister podcast, Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I dive into the world of martial art media, trying to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. It's a lot of fun. But thanks for listening. It's good to be back. It's good to be with you all as we enter 2026. But until next time, this is Brandon signing off, reminding you as always that theology is for everyone, so keep on studying.